bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Gamer Show on the British Tech Network. We are here after a short break. 2 weeks break.
Yep. Three.
Just as eating a biscuit. 4 weeks, actually. It's been a four-week break. Well, we normally do it fortnightly, and we missed the last episode, so I suppose it's a four-week break. Anyway, we're here, and we have Chiz. How's Chiz?
I'm okay.
Good.
I apologise for any hacking or coughing. I'm still recovering from a cold.
Yeah, he's also an hour and a half late for recording. Supposed to be recording this at 1:30. Chiz rocks up at 3:00. Well done, Chiz. And he didn't even have a good excuse, like, you know, like he was going to pick up his mum or like going to help his gran or something like that. No, he was asleep. It's a Saturday.
No, it's Friday.
I just got up at 2:00.
It's Friday. I was allowed to be up to like 3-4 in the morning.
You were allowed. Mummy wrote me a letter.
And gran. So we've also got Sam.
Hola.
How are you?
Good.
And in the other side of things, he's getting quite miffed because we're starting recording at 3:00 and he has to leave his house at 4:00 to go to Glasgow tonight.
Which, so it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. His good lady's not going to be very happy. But anyway, we're all
she
here.
Never is.
Well, that's true.
Tiny temper.
We're all here and we're.
She's a pop star as well.
No, I just call her Tiny Temper because she's tiny and angry. Yeah. But she's only angry because she's with me.
Right, okay. So I kind of thought being away for 4 weeks, we might actually have some decent news to talk about.
Nope.
There really isn't very much to talk about. There's a few new games coming out, which obviously we could talk about that, but in the terms of our actual stuff to talk about, it's a bit thin on the ground, so we'll try our best and push on. But first, I just want to mention, now we have two pieces of feedback. However, it occurred to me, and I did actually know this at the time, but I completely forgot, that they're actually both from the same person. So, first of all, this is from Ed Marshall, who is at F1 Ed Marshall on Twitter, and he tweeted me about a week ago and said, "When's the next Gamer Show, Paul?" It's right now. So we've answered that.
Yeah.
Job done. Next thing, can you review the new F1 2012, which I believe Chiz has been playing?
I have.
Good, right, okay, so he can talk about that.
The anticipation there, Paul.
And also, which is the best new Medal of Honor or Call of Duty?
The one that I have.
You have neither.
I know.
Is he wanting us to review games that aren't even out yet?
Well, no, I think he's kind of asking which one is the better one to buy.
I don't know. Medal of Honor, the past few ones haven't been that great.
Yeah.
Unless the new one changes, I'll keep an eye on it. And Call of Duty Blops to whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm sick to death of Call of Duty these days, although it's a solid online shooter, which it always will be.
Yeah. I really wanted to go back to bolt action rifles. I was far happier with it. I really was.
You want muskets and everything.
Yeah, muskets would be cool.
Like, you want an interactive bit where it takes you 10 minutes to reload it.
I actually saw a trailer for, I think it was a fan-made mod for something that was muskets, and you'd run in, fire it, and then spend like 30 seconds back treading while you reload your musket, hoping desperately no one gets close.
The awkward run backwards in gaming style.
Yeah. Classic.
Oh, well, so I hope that answered your question, Ed.
Or not.
My personally, my money would be in the new Call of Duty because I quite like the original Black Ops. Sounds kind of, from what Chiz was saying, it's the same, and Sam doesn't play that type of game, so I guess we're kind of pushing towards Call of Duty.
It's a zombie mode I've always been interested in playing, but I've never actually played any of the Black Ops one. I've not actually played any of the Call of Duty's that have had the zombie stuff, but I keep hearing that's probably one of the best things about it.
Ed also very kindly left us a 5-star review in iTunes, and his review goes as follows. Once you get past the awful music, the opening song sounds like Usher has remixed Game Boy's Double Dragon song. Once past that, the show is great fun. I've listened to all the shows over and over. It's three best mates reviewing games. I don't think we are.
No.
I don't particularly like Sam.
I tolerate Sam.
Well, let's face it, after the incident, it's surprising we can all come into the same room again.
That manatee will never recover.
Oh, no.
It's three best mates reviewing game. They play and review all the latest gaming world. Also, Sam's biscuit review is great. I love fig rolls. The Bargain Basement section is class. Great fun. It's well worth downloading. 5 stars. Please, can I have Bargain Basement games and all your autographs? Sam can't write, but we'll try. And this bit,
because I have no hands.
This bit I'm not sure about. He's also asked for Paul's wife's crutchless knickers.
They're not his wife's.
Or he will send Gandalf Red to smack you with his trusty staff. Keep up the great work. All the best, lads. P.S. Paul, hope you had a great wedding. I did. Thank you, Ed. But I have to be honest, I'm not that comfortable with you wanting my wife's knickers. We'll move on from that. And thank you very much for the 5-star review.
Crunchy chocolate chip cookies today, by the way.
Oh, it is.
I'm going to start rating them. I think we should start rating them. Maybe on a crunch factor.
A crunch.
Five crunch.
Well, as biscuits not got to be crunchy. It's something about categorisation.
I know. No, because fig rolls get in there and they're not crunchy.
Should we call it the soggy biscuit rating?
Yeah. Sam's biscuit rating.
I said soggy.
Oh, soggy.
Moving on. Right.
Three splats.
First of all, today we're going to talk about Wii, or the Wii U more accurately. So, first of all, there's an article. I was in CVG this week talking about the price hike on third-party Wii U games, particularly, coincidentally actually, it's talking about Black Ops to be sold for £55 at some outlets for the Wii U, most retailers selling titles at a premium. It also goes on to kind of talk about other games such as Assassin's Creed 3 and there was another one. Mass Effect 3. So they all appear to be kind of selling for £10 to £15 more than PlayStation and Xbox titles, because they normally retail about £40.
Which I think are overpriced in the first place.
Well, yes, yeah.
Especially for games that have been out for a few months on the Xbox and PS3, so they'll be even cheaper now anyway than getting them for... Yeah.
Well, not Assassin's Creed 3.
Really taking them in.
And yeah. Black Ops 2. It is, and also kind of a substandard experience, potentially, as well, or maybe I'm just categorising that in the Wii experience.
I don't actually know how good they are until they're actually out. I think the graphics should be better because the Wii U is more powerful, but whether or not it's actually been developed to use it is a different thing.
Yeah.
And the cool thing with Black Ops I've noticed is you can do split screen where one person's got the TV and one person's got the screen on their gamepad. Right. So split screen gaming sounds pretty good in that world.
You've got to imagine the person on the gamepad though has a disadvantage.
Ever so slightly, yeah.
Yeah. You've got somebody sitting on a 50-inch telly and somebody else sitting on, what, a 7-inch pad?
It depends how good the screen is, I suppose, but it's that close to you, it won't really matter too much.
I've been thinking about this pad. About the sounds of it, it sounds quite hefty. I'm not sure how comfortable I'm going to be after holding that up.
No, but
just putting it in there.
Yeah, that was a nice segue, because I could have said, well, what it doesn't have to weigh it down is a port for plugging in your headset, and we could have moved on to the next article, but we're not quite finished this one yet.
It's a pro pad that doesn't have the port.
Never mind. We're going to talk about the headsets in a second. Anyway, back to this. Yeah, I think it's overpriced. It's a minor thing, but... what?
I thought you were going to stop. I think it's overpriced. And...
I don't like the tops of the game. You know how like PlayStation and Xbox have like a brand across the top of the games, and Wii also does at the moment. It's white. I don't like that new one. That it's kind of like a, almost like a smiley face with baby blue at the top. It, you know, like the Xbox ones and the PlayStation ones are kind of going for more of a experienced and adult market, I would say. Yeah. Just the whole branding. The branding of the Wii U looks very kind of cutesy poo, lovely.
Well, it's a Wii.
But the whole thing is that they're trying to go for this. They're trying to win back the hardcore gamer market. Right. And it just kind of... Even their branding kind of looks a bit...
I don't think they should. I seriously think that they're going to not manage that.
Well, I think they're doing fine in the family market. And they probably would be as well just excelling in
There's enough hardcore Nintendo fanboys who'll keep them alive for years to come in and buy everything that they sell.
Like me.
I think we should crack on. Crack on, because we got too many.
One thing for Nintendo, you've pre-ordered yours, haven't you? I've noticed that the probably the best pack to get is the Zombie U pack, because it's like, well, it's £20 or £30 more expensive than the black one, but you get the game, which is like it's cheaper having that game. I'd say it's better, it looks better than it's Nintendo Land anyway, and it's cheaper getting that, and you get the pro controller in the pack as well.
Right,
if you bought all them separately, it'd work out to more than £30.
See, when I pre-ordered mine, it was like the day that it got released, and it was in the Amazon store, and all you had the options for was the white pack with no games,
yeah.
or the black one. And they, this is really silly, but one of the main prerequisites for buying any computer hardware that's going to live in our living room is it has to be black, because the TV's, this is my wife, the TV's black, the Sky HD box is black, the PlayStation's black, the Xbox is black, so that means the Wii coming in had to be a black one. So I went with the black one, which it's came with version. Zombieland.
Zombieland.
No, it didn't come with Zombieland. It came with Nintendo Land. Sorry.
Right. Well, you should catch your pre-order and go with the Zombieland, maybe.
Yeah, if I can if I get Zombieland. Black, otherwise I'd love to sit somewhere else. Yeah,
is it Zombieland? Is it called?
It's called Zombie U. Sorry,
Zombie U.
Zombieland. It's a black one.
Good film.
It's a black console comes with it.
Right. Okay. Also, Wii U seem to have dropped the ball somewhat when we're talking about kind of more mature gaming and more hardcore gaming. Is that the voice chat will only be available on selected games? No official headset is planned.
It's up to the developer whether it's included or not, basically. It's not mandatory.
The Pro Controller won't have a plug for it to plug in your headset, so there's no option there.
You'd have to plug... You'd have to have the gamepad lying next to you, plugged up a headset into you while you play with your gamepad Pro. Is the only way to do it that way, which is a bit...
And it's odd, because the games that they actually are saying that select games on release that will include voice chat is Assassin's Creed 3, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and Mass Effect 3. All of which... I can't comment on Mass Effect 3, but Assassin's, certainly Call of Duty, I would want headset.
Yeah.
That's that. Call of Duty is the only one out of those that I can see headset being important for. The other two don't matter at all.
Well, you would get the headset, so you get voice control, but you can't plug it into a Pro Controller, and I would assume you would be using a Pro Controller on those ones, and you can't plug the headset in. It just seems a bit...
You would need it for Mass Effect 3 if you're playing it's multiplayer, because you're basically working with people in that, so you'd want to be able to communicate with them. And what I don't know if you compare how good... It's Microsoft have got it with the party chat, which is absolutely brilliant. And actually, when I went back to play online on the PS3, which is free and great, but the voice capabilities are garbage. When you're that used to using its party chat, like I could be chatting to you and you could just be watching a film or doing anything. But it's so handy having everyone in the party chat ignoring random people shouting abuse at me. and then just all playing the same games, absolutely brilliant fun.
Thanks.
Hi, Kirsty.
She just opened the door and threw something in. I don't know.
Oh, it's got your Snickers.
I've already got dibs on that.
So anyway, so that's the Wii. Moving on, Microsoft have had a couple of announcements this week. Nothing major, in my opinion, but the first thing was they released their new dashboard. Well, I was quite interested in the new dashboard getting released a while ago, because it was kind of the Metro interface, but we haven't got, none of the three of us have checked, and none of the three of us have been given access to it.
It's supposed to be getting rolled out, and everywhere I read it, so it's out now, and it'll come to you eventually. It's like, well, are they rolling it out person by person, town by town, or something?
I don't know. I'll be in kind of groups, I suppose, to kind of maintain bandwidth, but I saw a video, who was it? Now, we've got a link in the show notes here. I can't see it.
You saw a video.
I saw a video. Oh, yeah, it was joystick.com. Put up a video walkthrough, and it doesn't look that different. It has a lot of extra apps, but chances are we're not going to get access to them, because they were showing apps like kind of TV channels in the States. Like, it wasn't Hulu, but it was that kind of... I know that's not a channel, but it's a thing. But there's MLB and that kind of stuff, which, maybe some people in the UK are going to be interested in baseball, but I certainly haven't.
No.
So it was those kind of things. There was no evidence of... anything else that I saw that was all that interesting. Looked very similar.
Apparently they've gotten rid of Twitter and Facebook apps. Use it through the IE now.
Yeah, so you have to use IE on that machine, the browser that the world loves.
It's only taken them like 7 years to roll out a browser on the Xbox. Well, PlayStation, Nintendo have had it for...
Well, yeah. They've had it in inverted quotes. They've had a browser, sort of.
I've never used it.
Yeah. I did once because I was interested to see what my website looked like on the PlayStation, and it was horrendous, which maybe was a fault by me, but I blame entirely the PlayStation engine. But anyway, so Microsoft have released that, which we've not seen. We've just seen a video. I think it's pretty unfair for us to do any reviewing based on a video that another reviewing website released, so possibly just head on over to joystick.com. We'll put a link in the show notes.
It'll just be hopefully just a cleaner, faster version of the current dashboard with a few extra features. That's all it is, really.
Yeah. Oh, well, I find the current one fine.
And probably more adverts.
Yeah. There's easy access to your the guys that you play against most often. Their avatars seem to be in kind of just one screen away, which is cool.
A recommended sort of tab, which I'll never use.
Yeah. Also, they've unveiled a comprehensive music service, which includes free streaming on Windows 8, and it's called Xbox Music Service, rather originally. I wonder how many meetings was used to create that rather fantastic title. I would imagine. The interesting thing about this is that it's called Xbox Music Service, but you have to pay for it if you want it on the Xbox, which in theory is fine. However, it's free on Windows 8. And all I can think of is here is that Microsoft just kind of went, what's our best brand? Xbox, right, call it that. Because they did have it as Zune, and, well, nobody in the UK kind of knew what Zune was, because Zune was only ever released in the States.
Yeah. They totally done away with Zune, because it was the first launch, there was Xbox Video, Xbox Music, and then they turned it to Zune, and now they've reverted back again to the US, because Zune has died horribly.
Yeah, so that's interesting. It looks like a kind of a Spotify competitor, which is sort of fine. It's the same price as Spotify, as long as it has a music library, but I kind of feel that at this stage, Spotify's kind of ran away with the ball, but...
For what I've read, it's not as good as anything right now, but they reckon because it's Microsoft, give them time in a year or so, then it might be pretty good.
Cool. Microsoft are also in had a little bit of a problem with Halo 4 leaking out over the internet.
Do that a lot.
That'll be the third time a Halo has leaked before launch. It's usually been in French.
There's all sorts of... Yeah, actually, we did that, didn't we? Halo 2.
Yeah, we got a copy of that.
Yeah, we had the French version of Halo 2 well before release.
You're bad. I remember playing that, yeah.
It was totally bizarre because I did actually get the game when it came out in English because I was totally confused in the first level. And I realized,
no idea what the plot was.
I know, I was following the waypoints and no readers are right. It's something to do with a bomb because in French they go, "La bombe!" I was like, right, there must be a bomb in the interviews. But the rest of the game I was going, what's happening?
I particularly remember all the voices being really quite different to how they...
Yeah.
was there not someone who had quite a high-pitched voice?
Oh, yeah, the French game voice artists are really squeaky.
Oh, was it the...
French game artists are really squeaky.
what's the arbiter? Was it not the arbiter that had a really high pitch squeak?
I'm a big scary alien.
So, yes, they have.
That was weird.
Yeah. So it's leaked. I haven't played it on purpose. I'm fully intending.
I avoid it. Well, I've been not watching anything because I just want to get the game and play it.
I was kind of tempted. I was pre-ordering Assassin's Creed 3 the other day, and Amazon did that thing where they say, if you buy these three together, it costs you X. And when you actually look at it, they're not giving you any offer. Yeah. They're just kind of saying, do you want to order all these three at the same time? Yeah. And they had Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3, and I think it was Black Ops 2. And it was like, all these three for like 130 quid. Well, let's run it that. I didn't do it. I just ordered Assassin's Creed 3. But I was kind of tempted with Halo 4. I probably will end up buying it, but I can't honestly remember of any Halo title that I've bought on day of release.
How much were Amazon selling?
Nah, all Amazon stuff's about kind of 35 to 40, roughly.
Because I was saying before, it's game prices. I've got Halo 4 pre-ordered for £33.
Mm.
And I've actually ordered Hitman and Assassin's Creed 3 for the PC and each for about £23.
Right, okay. Maybe the PC. Oh, is that on Steam or is it just the PC?
I'll have to install it through Steam, I would have thought. To register Hitman, but I'm getting the retail version because I like physical copies and it's cheaper buying that than
living in the 20th century.
It's like 30, 40 quid for download it off Steam.
That's
so
true.
That.
Steam is a bit of a rip. Apart from when they've got the deals.
Yeah, because I know it's beating the drum for downloading games as the future, which is great, and I get that, but it's still too expensive.
It's easier, you get
far better deals by looking online and actually buying a proper physical copy.
Yeah.
And then you install it on, but then you don't need the disc anymore, so if you ever need to install it, rather than downloading it again after you download it, you just keep it on the disc.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not very quick around here, right?
Well, that is true.
Exactly.
That is true. Yeah, okay. Next thing is Skyrim. The next downloadable content will be called Dragonborn and might feature dragon mounts. Now, this is that interesting that for the first time in the history of this show, we're on show 12, and Sam contributed to the show notes this week.
Done it before.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no memory of that.
Last one and the one before.
You remember he actually created like a whole new one just for the
half. Oh, he did? Yes, I apologise. Well, anyway, the point is both of us put this article in the show notes, so we clearly both didn't read each other's show notes.
That's I think yours probably went in first. So it did. I didn't read yours any way, shape or form.
Anyway.
Which is standard.
So you'll be able to ride on dragons in the next downloadable content.
Which has been something everyone wanted since the game came out, I think.
Do you know what, though? Whilst, yeah, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be horribly broken.
Very little enthusiasm for it now, yeah. At all.
It's all it's going to do is be fast travel. You won't be able to do much of it. It's just like, go here, you're a dragon. But it's... I know, yeah. But as I say, it's...
And they'll not have mounted combat.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid they have mounted combat and a dragon.
It's all the DLC still waiting to come out on the PlayStation version because that is horribly broken. Right. And it's Bethesda saying, yeah, we don't know if it's going to come out on PlayStation.
Hmm. Oh, well.
Ha-ha, PlayStation.
That'll be interesting when it comes out. And finally, in the news section today, there was just a couple of general moans about, well... developers, I suppose. Lionhead is evolving into a entertainment as a service studio. So this is just more Microsoft killing off decent game developers. First it was Rare, now it's Lionhead. So it looks like all they're going to do is continue to pump out DLC for the likes of Fable and whatnot.
Yeah, and well, I say like Rare, just all they do now is make the Avatar crap for the Xbox, which no one, well, anyone in the right mind shouldn't be buying. But so it's like
unless that. It's one with our faces on it.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be horrific.
I'm quite aroused, but
well, Avatar,
the three-headed monster of us that you can plug into your avatar. So, well,
three retarded monkeys. but yeah, so if Lionhead are going down a similar route as that, then that's the death of them. When I can now see why Peter Molyneux left them, because he probably saw it coming. Yeah. And went, yep, I want to continue making games, thanks.
Mm. And the second thing...
Promised to make good games.
Second thing is, Prey 2 is in limbo. There was rumours that it had been cancelled, now been told it's just in limbo. Frankly, is there a difference?
Well, at least not cancelled, because there's been some sort of fallout between it's Bethesda again and the developer Prey 2. Prey 2 looks pretty good. It's basically a sandbox... I don't know if it's RPG, but a sandbox bounty hunter game in space, which looks freaking awesome.
We have discussed it before.
Yeah. And hopefully it still will come out and get made. But in Limbo, one, I don't know if it means that all development has stopped and it's paused, or they're continuing to make it, but they've got no release date. I don't know. I'm hoping they're still making it.
Yeah.
The first one was pretty cool. Bit weird.
I didn't play
cool.
Prey. I never played it.
You actually gave me it for the bargain basement one time. I said, I played this. It's awesome. So you have it. So,
do I? Yeah. Right. Okay. I'll have a look. Okay. Cool. So that's a news section. On to what we've been playing this week. I can't be bothered to edit the show anymore and put that music in, so I've not been doing it for the last few episodes.
Is it because Ed doesn't like it now? Is that why you're taking it out?
No, he didn't like the opening music.
All right.
He didn't mind the middle one. No, I've not put that... It's good to see Chiz listen to the show afterwards. But I don't put that music in the show anymore just because I can't be bothered to edit, frankly. So if we just go...
I just record it and then edit out everyone else and it's just me talking quite a while.
So
it's not much. I don't say that much.
It's your suffocation suit.
It's really interesting.
What are we looking forward to? Chiz.
Well,
actually, what are we going to... Are we just going to do what we planned? Or did we go through that list that came out in CVG?
Do we plan?
Right, okay, forget it. There's a list in CVG which you put in the show notes, which is the best games coming out in the rest of 2012, and we thought about going through that.
Why don't we have a quick look at it as well? We'll do this very, very briefly.
We'll do this very briefly, and if at the end we have time...
Just go.
Okay.
Go.
Okay, we're going.
Go, Chiz.
Go.
Also have to remember that if you do that list and then we run out of games in future podcasts.
Yeah, but then we can just mash over the same thing.
It's fine.
Again.
Okay. Guys,
I do that anyway.
Far Cry 3, go.
Yeah, Far Cry 2, I'm looking forward to that. Enjoyed Far Cry 2, even though it was... It had a few annoying things where you'd have to go and hunt out malaria tablets or you died randomly in the middle of a firefight or something, which was really annoying. But it looks pretty good, and the island, it looks like it's got a bit of a lost but totally messed up vibe. It looks a bit mental, and you're kind of free to hunt, and it was random. What I like about it is this open warfare, what I've read, things can randomly happen. You can be in a bit of a firefight, then a herd of buffalo can come stamping through and murder everyone, or right. a random tiger, or you can unleash a bear from a cage and cause mayhem. And
wait a minute, so you can unleash a bear from a cage, but from memory of Far Cry, the original Far Cry's, you don't have like a kind of a lorry at your disposal, so do you drag this cage through the island with you?
Say for example, you're breaking into an enemy sanctuary. Or place, and they've got a caged bear.
So coincidentally, your enemies happen to have.
Everyone has caged bears.
They're apparently, anyways, obviously they're all selling drugs and selling illegal animals, so there's a spear probably getting carried off to a Russian circus or something.
Obviously.
Oh, of course. I was forgetting about the Russian circus, sorry.
Komodo dragons and all sorts of weird stuff. So the game looks pretty sweet. What I've seen of it and what I've read, it looks pretty sweet, so I recommend it to anyone. And yeah, I'll be getting that on the PC as well.
Cool. Sam?
Rome Total War.
Again.
You're really
looking forward to this one.
No, they released some in-game footage of the Siege of Carthage, which is, well, it's going to be part of the game, but I'm guessing it's probably going to be one of their historic battles in there as well. Watch it. I can't even describe how
we'll
incredible
put the link
it
in the show
looks.
Notes for
just
that.
Watch it. It looks incredible. In-game graphics are totally amazing. And also, from what I've read, the required spec or the recommended spec isn't going to be that high because they've just everything's so
hopefully
tight.
Optimized it that
yeah,
well.
It's yeah. just going to be absolutely fantastic. Cool. And the only other little piece of knowledge that I have on that, which I'm really also very excited on, is that one, for people that play this kind of games, there's going to be kind of no rebel faction in there. It's all going to be little mini states rather than just one big grey mass, which is your little kind of individual city states
yeah.
Surrounding your borders. That each one is going to be a kind of a player in itself.
Okay.
And supposedly there's going to be up to 50 different playable races. So it's not just the big ones like the Romans, the Egyptians, the Carthaginians, Gauls, Britons, and blah blah blah. There's supposed to be all these little ones as well. So I really quite like the idea of taking some very obscure tiny little settlement and going mental with them.
All right, okay,
there you go.
Cool.
In brief,
cool. I am looking forward to Mario Brothers U, primarily because I've been playing a lot of Mario Brothers recently, and the new Mario Brothers U that comes out in the Wii U actually looks very similar to what you've got just now, but it's a bigger telly.
That's shocking. That's really surprising.
There's very little extra. You've got a new type of Mario, which I should have known what it is down. I can't remember off the top of my head what it is, but there's a new type. Oh, it's an acorn. Acorn? Is it an acorn? It gets like a fun little hat. Yeah. You type of Mario, they seem to do this every now and again in a new game. It looks just like a standard Mario game, standard Mario platformer. Nothing like Paper Mario, thank the good Lord.
It's a new Paper Mario, is it not?
Yeah, I remember me and my little girl sat down one evening to sit and play Paper Mario, and after about 15 minutes of dialogue, of having to tap, because like Mario dialogue, it's all like text on the screen. Tap. Both of us abandoned it and never played it. So neither of us actually ever played Paper Mario, but it was just we were put off by the 15 minutes at the beginning of going through text, so we didn't play it. So it possibly isn't a fair review of that game, actually, because we didn't actually play it, but we got bored of it, then sent it back. Anyway, the Mario Bros. U looks awesome. Looking forward to it. And also the kind of being able to play on the pad as well as on the screen as well. So my pre-order of the Wii U, I've pre-ordered Mario Bros. U as well, because I'm really looking forward to that.
Was that £50?
I can't remember what it was, actually. It was 3 or 4 weeks ago I ordered it. It wouldn't have been, it would, I seem to remember 45, but I might have been totally wrong. But yeah, so it was on Amazon. Cool. So that's preview section. So what have we been playing this week, Sam? Sam. Chiz, what have you been playing this week? Oh, for goodness sake.
Dishonored.
Which
Chiz has also been playing, but he's also been playing a lot of other stuff because he had a whole week off. So
has it been a school holiday this week?
Not last week.
Oh, of course it was. Yeah, last week. Yeah.
Dishonored. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah. I've heard really good things about it.
Yeah, it's really good. You got to kill people or not kill people and scuffle around and shoot people. There's also, you won't have noticed, but there was like a homage to the Thief series. Slight spoiler, but it won't really spoil anything.
So it's not a spoiler?
It kind of is, because it's part of the game, which is more than halfway through, I'm thinking.
Right.
I haven't completed it yet. But there's a bit where you start going...
I'm going to have one of your biscuits.
Yeah, go for it. There's a bit where you start going after the assassins, and you get into... you're going after the leader, and you're kind of going through his base, and there's an assassin being trained, and the guy's like, you have to go through the room and not get into the light. That's a direct homage to Thief 1, which is a training sequence that you have to go through right at the start.
Thief 2, I think. But,
it's really cool.
There's also a homage to Portal. Did you see the Portal?
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of Valve-y stuff. Like the look of the great big walls where they've blocked off sections of the city, that's very...
it's because the same artist.
Yeah, it's very Half-Life. But, it's directly...
I think it's more to be the same artist, to be honest, rather than Half-Life. It's just the same guy. It's the way he does things. I don't know, but yeah. But
he's just not put any effort into it. Turned something that I thought was cool into...
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
30 minutes, thank you.
Well, she's made me angry.
But, you can recognise someone's work just because the way they do things.
Yeah, but he didn't have to just...
It's very, very...
Bring
very,
out the same stuff again.
It was very similar.
I think it was cool.
Anyway, yes, Dishonored does look very good.
It's brilliant gameplay.
Yeah, I fully intend to. I actually was going to go and buy it yesterday. And it's funny, when just sat down here today, because I was telling the guys that I was going to buy Dishonored yesterday, and I figured that it probably wasn't worthwhile, because Chiz would have likely bought the game and played it and probably completed it a couple of times by now. And I sat down and I said that to him. He's like, yeah, I've completed it twice. But unfortunately, I bought it for the PC. So as we'll come on to later, I don't have a PC, so I can't play it. So I'm going to have to get on the Xbox. Anyway, Chiz. What have you been playing?
I have been playing Formula One 2012 and other things, but we'll talk about that one this week. Good and annoyed with it. It is probably the best version yet for AI. And I started my career race. It was Melbourne, and I started in a Williams. And I set the hardness where I thought, I didn't want to end up, I didn't want it too easy, so I'd take the lead in a Williams. I wanted to be at least mid group. And I finished the race about 6. Oh, well, enjoyed the race. The AI made mistakes. It crashed. There was failures. It was all pretty good and realistic. And then race 2 was Malaysia. And then it started to rain. And I noticed... I was doing well at the start when it rained a wee bit. I had grip. I was on wet. And then the track started to dry up. But it started to rain again, which the AI pitted, and then pitted back onto wet. But when the rain started to get heavier and my tyres weren't worn... And I was already on wet, which is the most sort of... there's intermediates and wet. Mm-hmm. When I went to wet and the rains got really heavy, I lost all grip whatsoever, yet the AI were racing around faster than me on intermediates, even though it was heavier than what it was before.
All right.
So the weather, the grip levels didn't quite match up. And I've seen races where the rain was coming down, but the track was totally dry for laps and laps and laps.
Right.
So the weather effects weren't... the grip levels weren't matching what I was seeing.
Do you think that'll be fixed in updates?
Well, it's still no patches for the Xbox yet. It's getting up to patch 8 now on the PC, so hopefully they've maybe possibly fixed bits of it. But one major bug is every rape? race.
I've mongered.
Sorry, I'm talking about a different game. And every race. I promise that wasn't a Freudian slip.
Every race. Sab is poorless in the corner.
Every race since Melbourne, it has rained. And even in Bahrain, which is in the middle of the frickin' desert, rained. And I was about 7 races in doing 50% races, and it rained every single race. And the grip levels were just terrible. The AI was so much faster. I was nowhere near competitive with them. It's like you could take the corner like 5 miles per hour, and it was still slanged off. It wasn't like I was bad and dry, I was competitive, but as soon as it got wet, it was just like there was no grip whatsoever. It was like a sheet of ice.
Yep.
And then when I went into the forums, I read that I'm not the only one that's had this problem. It's apparently a major glitch with the game, which you're going to patch. To be honest, I've abandoned the game until they patched that, which has kind of ruined the game for me. The past games I've had a fair share of bugs, but I've never had a bug which made me stop playing. This is the first one where I've actually went, I can't play this until they fix it.
Right.
Which is kind of annoying. It's still, hopefully in the patch up it'll be back to being great again, but it's kind of annoying. It's just like, do they not test their game before launching it? It's like, they must, I think they actually, because it's a yearly thing, I think they get as good as they can and they throw it out on time.
Yeah.
And then basically they let the users tell them what's wrong and then they patch it up, which is a bit crap, if I'm to be honest. So I've lost a bit of faith in Codemasters that way. But hopefully it gets fixed. Okay. But at the moment, it's a bit of a mess at the moment.
Okay, I have been playing Super Mario Brothers 2 on the 3DS. Really enjoyed it. But it, I mean, there's nothing.
It's too much Mario in this episode.
I'm sorry. I really enjoyed it. My new wife, very lovely of her, bought me a 3DS XL for a wedding present for me and the new Mario Brothers game, essentially because she wanted to kind of relax and like lie in the sun, and she knew if I didn't have something to keep me occupied, I would be wanting to go and do something like jumping up motorboat or something, I don't know. Anyway, I'd want to go and do something other than just lie about, because I don't like just lying about. So she bought me this 3DS. Now, as it happens, I managed to complete Super Mario Brothers 2 on my honeymoon, which is both a positive and a negative thing, I suppose, if you look at it. But I really enjoyed it. Really good game. Classic Mario. Nothing really to shout about. The only thing that I really disliked about it, and it's been in, it was in Super Mario 3DS as well. I think it was just called 3D. If you fail at a level so many times, it then gives you, at the very beginning of the level, it gives you like an extra little question mark thing that you can bump. And what it does is it gives you like a fire flower or a flying leaf. But also you don't have to shoot anybody. It's essentially, it's an invincibility thing that runs for the whole level. So you can just walk into all your enemies. You still have to jump over like gaps and things like that, but you can just walk into enemies and you don't have to actually kill them.
So the game was basically telling you, you're really crap at this, yeah. So we're just going to make sure you get through.
Yeah, I can't remember how many times. It's like kind of half a dozen times you fail at a level for whatever reason. It then gives you this little leaf.
Did you have to use this for every level?
A few. There was a couple of levels that I... Well, there's no other way I would have found it if it hadn't happened. What kind of bugged me, though, was...
You're special enough for this.
Kind of bugged me was that you you also got it on like the end levels, and I kind of feel that the end levels should have been different, like the ones where you're fighting Bowser, because all you did is you just walked into Bowser like three times, job done. And that was the end of it.
I've said this about a lot of things, though. Like... For instance, when I went back to play Thief with no autosave whatsoever, and in comparison to even Dishonored, it autosaves all the time.
Yeah.
We're so babied now.
I know. Well, there's another feature that I didn't know about. It was when I came home and I was looking into it for the small amount of research that we do for this show. I was looking into it to find out how many games in the past Mario has had this feature. And apparently, there's also another box that even though you've got that invincibility thing, if you get killed a further, I can't remember what it was, three or four times, you then get this little thing that kind of looks like a set of wings with an S on it. And if you bump that, it just whisks you off to the very end of the level with a flag, and you just jump up the flag and that's the end of the level.
That is rubbish.
Yeah, so that's the end of the level. Job done.
But what does that say about like our children now?
Yeah. Mm.
Just they can't. They couldn't possibly fail. Poor little Jimmy. Well, it'll destroy him for life.
It's a whole thing where it's kids get rewarded even for coming last and things like that.
It's kind of changing though. That kind of ethos isn't as much anymore.
But it's still like,
good.
Yeah,
I think it's
because it used to be that
too
thing.
Much of mollycoddling them.
It used to be a thing a few years ago when my oldest girl was in school, and when they played sports, like if they were playing football, nobody kept score, or in theory, nobody kept score apart from the kids on the field who knew fully well how many goals had been scored for and against them. But the adults at the side of the pitch, oh no, there's no score. It's just for the joy. Anyway, that aside, thoroughly enjoyed Super Mario Brothers 2 on the 3DS. It's just classic Super Mario Brothers. It's just awesome.
Go back to what you were saying. The other game I've came across, I've played, which is like 18 or something, was L.A. Noir. If you died a few times that, it gave you the option. It says, right, do you want to skip this level? And it's like, what?
You used to have to go to all the effort of finding cheat codes to do that.
Yeah, it's you've died a couple of times. You're a bit
goodness sake.
What's that at?
Yeah, you're...
There you go. Go and play with the shiny in the corner.
Yeah. Right, anyway, so
after you just mash buttons, we'll just show you the cutscenes.
I like a bit of challenge on things. Oh dear.
Oh goodness, right. Okay, this podcast and all others on the British Tech Network are brought to you by UK2.net. Pretty superb. If you want anything to do with the web, hosting, DNS, domains, anything like that, they actually, our voucher codes give you 20% off domains. Nobody else does that. 20% off domain name and registration. So if you wanted to register the domain name, games are far too simple, youmoron.com, you could just head on over and, oh, we've run out of biscuits. Jesus, just demolished the last biscuit.
Get back, I was listening.
Biscuits.
No, I was listening to the thing.
Samsbiscuits.com, for example. We could get 20% off that. 20% off samsbiscuits.com. Somebody's going to register that. Anywho, if you head on over to BritishTechNetwork.com and head on over to the sponsors page, you can link through to UK2 and use all our voucher codes. Fill your basket. You can get tons and tons of money off services UK2. They are fantastic. We love them. They support all podcasts on the British Tech Network. Thank you very much, guys. So, anyway, moving on. Our bargain basement challenge. Sam.
Put your hand up. No, I'm going to change the format. Okay? I'm just off the cuff. Just changing the format a little bit. Raise your hand and say ah, for those of us that are listening. No one actually does, though. Raise your hand and say I if you managed within the time that Paul went away to lose your bargain basement game.
Aye.
Seriously?
You lost yours until today.
I forgot about it, and I've still not played it. Right.
Now
I lost mine.
Wait!
I'll just go Wikipedia then.
Now, raise your hand and say aye if you lost it, but you played it before you lost it. Aye. Now, I'm the only one who actually bothered to play it.
I've got a sequel to a game I have played before.
However, I can't remember what it was called, and I can very, 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 very barely just remember what it was about.
Right.
That was it.
Okay, well, being that Chiz hasn't played his, but has at least returned his was Theme Park World. Well done, Chiz.
I played Theme Park. Much the same, except this is world. You got worlds you have to work through, according to Wikipedia.
Chiz actually sent me a message the other day saying, oh, I've not played it. What was my reply?
Is it quick to...
To the Wikipedia synopsis, Mobile!
I have absolutely no memory of what game you guys gave me. I can't find it.
No idea.
I have no memory. I mean, I could look at the last podcast. To be fair.
Yeah, that probably would get on
it. It was fetched out your bag, because I never brought a game last time. So
yeah, I know, but I have no memory of it. The room that we do the podcast in my office ended up in just a bomb site immediately after the wedding because everything just got shoved in my office because it's the only room in the house that nobody uses. And so it wasn't until this morning that we actually cleared it out and I realised that at some point that game has fallen into a bag or something. I've got no idea where it is. There is a pile of games up there, but they're the old games. Sam's away digging through our old bargain basement. They're both games that I've reviewed in the past.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that, Sam, please tell us about your game. While he sits back down.
It was an RPG thing in space. It was alright. It was the best rubbish game that I've had so far.
Really? That's fairly impressive considering you had Coffee Break.
Yeah, Coffee Break was a big favourite of mine. I actually have more to say about Coffee Break if we want to go back to that.
Have you played more?
No. I just don't think we can actually record anything that I can say about Coffee Break.
Okay, fair enough. Well, being that me and Chiz have successfully managed to not play our games this week, I have another excuse, albeit it wasn't actually why I didn't play it. I don't actually have a Windows PC anymore because my iMac that I had boot camp on broke. Now, it is working today, just coincidentally, but broke, so I don't have a Windows machine to play games on. So I couldn't have played it even if I'd found it, but nevertheless, I lost it. I don't know where it is.
How do you know it was a Windows?
Because all the bargain basement games are either Windows or Xbox, and we'd used all the Xbox ones.
Oh, that's fair enough.
So, anyway, this week, I have two games for you guys. Do you have a game for me?
No.
Nice, well played. We've had 4 weeks to organise this show.
Nice, we're out of practice.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't have been a Windows game anyway, which you wouldn't be able to play.
That's true. Right, okay, I'll just get your games.
We'll sort you something out. We'll see if we can get you something before the next podcast, and you can just... have it there.
Okay. I'm going to give Sam this one because I feel it completely emulates his personality. And it's still in a sealed wrapper as well. It's The Child of Eden. Now, it does say better with Kinect sensor. I understand you don't have a Kinect sensor, but it does work with the Xbox 360 controller. So it's called The Child of Eden.
Like Rez. Have you ever played that?
No.
You might horrible hate it, but it's supposed to be alright.
Chiz, I have a stupendous game for you.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. This has got...
Oh, it's in a
Sabrina, the Teenage Witch adventure game.
I seriously have to install this on my PC. This has to take precious room on my hard drive.
Yeah, it'll only be about 500 meg.
Yes,
this has got butterflies and birdies in it.
Oh dear. Cool.
What the hell is this?
It's
a game.
Yeah.
It's a multi-sensory game experience. Do I have to take acid while I'm playing it?
It's basically, you have to... I think the idea is you're flying through, like, the internet of the future, and you have to destroy viruses and weird things like that.
I really do have to take acid.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Apologies that we've been off for a couple of weeks, but hopefully this
also
show
for the quality of this show.
Well, hopefully
huge
this show made up for
there.
It.
I hope you've enjoyed us easing back into your ears.
If you would like to send us any questions or comments, I've just knocked my headphones out of my ears. If you would like to send us any questions or comments or anything like that, please email us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, or you can tweet British Tech at British Tech on Twitter or at Paul Wheatley on Twitter if you have any comments or questions. We also would really appreciate you to send any reviews in iTunes. Really help our ratings and ultimately help the quality of this show, apparently.
If it gets really good, we promise we'll bring in new presenter.
Actually, that's a point. We haven't had a guest presenter for a little while. We should maybe deal with that for the next show. Okay.
Because it doesn't work with a fourth person in this room. It's easier over Skype.
Yeah, that is actually true. Anyway, cool. Thank you very much, folks. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Good night.
Bye, doodles.